Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is mostly from Romans 7 and some from the Gospel today. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there was once a young man who said these words, "I gave Christianity a shot for a while. I got baptized, I joined a congregation, I went to church and all that jazz, but it didn't do anything for me." "Well, what did you expect it to do?" the pastor asked. And the man answered, "I anticipated my life to be changed for the better. No more problems, peaceful, no troubles, free from worry and fear. I fully expected all my personal difficulties to vanish. I expected all my prayers to be answered. I really supposed that the sins that always troubled me and constantly beleaguered me would be no more." Now, you can relate to that, can't you? You've been there and done all that, right? But did the young man expect to rise from the dead to eternal life with God? No, of course not. That would be expecting too much. Here's what he said. I quote, "I figured that if Christianity failed in the little things, then how could I expect it to succeed in the big things?" Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that the divine work that God does in Jesus, namely saving you by daily putting the old Adam to death and daily raising up the new creation, spelled F-A-I-T-H, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, is a hidden work. Listen very carefully. God's divine salvific work for you is hidden under apparent utter weakness, failure, and defeat. God's salvific work for you is hidden under the incredible and intense suffering in Jesus' divine body on the cross, veiled in that gory, brutalized, and divine dead body of Jesus is the working out and the achievement of your salvation. The divine, once for all, salvation-winning battle against all your big-time spiritual enemies, sin, death, and the devil. There, on that Friday that we all call good, all your sin was answered for. Death was put to death, Satan's head crushed. That's salvation, done all for you. Concealed to the clueless, and yet revealed to you who are baptized into Christ's death. So, you're a Christian. You belong to that crucified divine Jesus. You're saved. Salvation is yours by faith in Jesus. So now what? Well, here's one of the most incredible things about being a Christian. That is to say, a died for and baptized believer in Jesus. Lo and behold, in your flesh, the old Adam, that is to say, your old sinful nature, it remains. You still remain a sinner. Right? I mean, good grief, I hope you don't deny that. You're a sinner until you physically die and they put you 6 feet under. Or spread your ashes somewhere, who knows. Consequently, your Christian life now, until you breathe your last breath, is all about living in a battleground, in a war zone, daily warfare, combat, conflict. Against what? Against your sin and against your sinful nature. The life of the baptized Christian is the daily search and destroy mission of the old Adam, confessing your sin, admitting the truth about your sinfulness, and then using Jesus as the Savior for your sin. So, if you're getting the gist of what I'm telling you today, one of the most important facts about being a Christian is that God, who saved you in the Good Friday death of His Son, lets you, the Christian, continually struggle with your sin. Namely, you are to fight against it every day. You are to struggle against it every day. You are to battle it, and you are to put it to death every day. And then use our Lord's promise of forgiveness in the ways that He gives it. The absolution, the sermon, the Lord's Supper, daily against your sin. Brothers and sisters, when that is going on in your life, you are living in the power and the strength of your baptism into Christ's death for you. And so, the Christian life is just the opposite of what we hear on the TV and the radio. It's not all happy, slappy, clappy, 24/7, 365. Now, don't get me wrong. There are joys to the Christian life. There are happy days. But the Christian life is not without its struggles. It is not without its heartaches and without its pains. The baptized life also includes daily, excruciating, life and death struggle with and against your old Adamic nature. This is the Christian life of which Paul speaks. Listen, the good that I want to do, I don't. The evil that I don't want to do, I do it. You can read more about that in Galatians 5:17. He repeats almost the same thing. In other words, Paul is saying, as a Christian, I want to do God's will. I rejoice and I delight in God's Ten Commandments, but when push comes to shove, I don't do it. Instead, Paul says, I end up living only for myself. I make myself like God. I worship myself. I listen to my words, not God's. I trust myself, not God. I think I'm better than everybody else. I hurt the people closest to me by what I say and do. I'm short and hot-tempered. I'm rude. I'm quarrelsome. I hold grudges. I won't forgive. I give into all kinds of immorality. The good that I want to do, I don't do it, Paul says. And the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing it. Well, welcome to Christianity, folks. Welcome to living the Christian life. Welcome to living the constant battle against your sin. Welcome to living in and from your baptism into Jesus Christ. I mean, what in the world did you expect when you became a Christian? Being a Christian is the daily and incessant struggle against your sin and your sinful nature. It means that there is war that's going on within you. Death versus life. Old Adam versus Christ. So that you, in the way of the blessed apostle, cry out as you look at your life and you say, oh, wretched man or oh, wretched woman that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And there's only one answer that holds. There's only one answer that is certain and sure. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Well, the answer's a no-brainer, isn't it? Listen to his answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the Jesus of the cross and the empty tomb. This is the Lord Jesus whose divine death wins your forgiveness and your cleansing, and whose divine resurrection wins you eternal life with God. So now hear again today our Lord's promise that he has given for you. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary, you who are burdened in your battle against your old Adamic nature and against all your sin. Come to me, you who are burdened by your sin, the sin that you don't want to do but you keep on doing anyway, and I will give you rest. Rest in my Good Friday wounds, in my Good Friday blood. Brothers and sisters, daily you, as the sinner, you feel the pressures and expectations of the law, namely the Ten Commandments, don't you? Daily you, the sinner, experience the crushing burden of your sin. You know the daily weariness of never being able to do enough. You feel the overwhelming weight of the law that always demands more, better, higher, purer, holier. And you see the death that the law brings in your body. It's etched on the lines of your faces, the aches in your hearts, the pains in your back, and the consciences that give you no sleep. Jesus, however, with all his wounds showing, comes to you with his invitation and promise, and he says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Don't you think it's about time for that? Of course it is. And so it's time for us to be mature Christians. A mature Christian rests. That is, passively depends. I said depends. Totally and completely on Jesus in his daily battle against sin and his sinful flesh. And so I beseech you, brethren, come to Jesus. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Come to Jesus. You who are weary from your failed attempts at contemporary religion, contemporary spirituality, and contemporary what is called perfectionism. Come to Jesus. You who are burdened by guilt and fear, by broken lives and broken hearts. Come to Jesus, you whose hands are heavy from self-imposed and self-chosen works, and whose backs are scoliosisly bent from incessantly trying to carry the load of all of your life by yourselves. Yes, come to Jesus, you the despairing and the depressed, the addicted and the abandoned. Come to Jesus. He promises you rest. Jesus is of humble heart. He is gentle. He does not come to condemn you, but to forgive you, to free you. The burden that Jesus bore on the cross was your burden. Do you realize that? The weariness that he carried was your weariness. The death he died was your death. And so, brothers and sisters, I beg you, receive his yoke laid on you in your baptism and learn from Jesus. Learn what it means to live before God in the freedom of Christ's death and resurrection for you. Yes, in Jesus you have a gentle and humble Savior who promises you rest and refreshment. His yoke, it's the gospel. That's the promise that you're always forgiven for his sake. Why? Well, he died for you, that's why. To cover you and cleanse you with his Good Friday blood. So come to Jesus and rest in him. Rest in and from the baptism that he gives you, where he washed and purified you, where he gave you the new birth of water and of the Holy Spirit to do battle daily against your sin. Now, if you're not baptized, don't you think it's about time you should? If you're not baptized, I beg you, don't put it off any longer. If you know someone who's not baptized, talk to them and beg them to receive holy baptism into Christ's death. If you want me to talk to them, I will. It's time for those who are not baptized to get baptized so that we learn to live in and from our baptism into Jesus. All right. Bottom line, brothers and sisters, I beg you to come to Jesus with your sin so that you can be what? Forgiven. Come with your weariness and all your burdens and be refreshed in Jesus. Come to Jesus every Sunday to hear, to eat and drink, to learn and to live. Jesus' yoke of forgiveness, it's easy. He and his word of forgiveness are truly refreshing and life-giving, and it's all for you. So there's no need, as that young man that I started with today in the sermon, there's no need to despair or give up on Christianity. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.